Thanks for tuning in to Freedom House Podcast. We're always encouraged to know God is working through this church as we change our world one life at a time. Stay connected by following us on social media at Freedom House OC. We hope you enjoy this message.
Tonight, we get to continue the series on strongholds. Has that series been good or what? That series has been so good. I mean, last week, Pastor Brian tore the house down, talking about fear. The Spirit of God just broke out in this place, and he exposed the devil. That's what he did. He taught us how to break the stronghold of fear in our life, and I love it. I love it because the devil, the enemy, you know, he doesn't want you to know that type of stuff. He doesn't want you to know how to break that stronghold. And I believe tonight I got a word for you, and I believe some more strongholds are going to be broken tonight. Come on, will you guys believe with me on that? That tonight the Word of God is going to break some strongholds tonight. And I'm telling you, I'm focused. I'm so focused tonight. I've been preparing. You know, I felt led to fast to get here, so I fasted, and I'm focused. I mean, all day. I'm going to tell you, this is big, because this is, you know, preseason football. I haven't looked at any football news today. Anything. And I'm in fantasy football, so I'm keeping up the updates, who's getting injured, training camps, all this other stuff, you know, what's happening. I'm all of that. I have not looked at any of that, because I'm focused right now on this message and delivering it tonight and seeing what God does tonight, because God's going to do an awesome and powerful thing tonight. Somebody say, tonight. We're going to demolish some strongholds over our life, and I want you guys to leave inspired, leave empowered, and leave, you know, walking in the power of the truth of God's word, because that's what's going to be released tonight. You know, when we're going to be released, we're going to go not in prison, but we're going to live free. Come on, because he who the Son sets free is free indeed. How many of y'all are free up in Freedom House? Some of you need to take a picture in front of the Freedom Lives Here over there and post it or something. Let people know Freedom Lives Here at Freedom House Church. So get ready tonight, okay? I want you to get ready. I want you to talk back. I want you to say amen. I want you to shout. I want you to be interactive. I want you to be like, come on, I want some more. Even when I don't have anything left to give, I want you just shouting back at me. I want this to be a night where you're like, you're just ready. You're T.D. Jakes ready. You know, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. That's what I want from you guys, because tonight is going to be a powerful night. So with that being said, let's stand to our feet for the reading of God's word. And let's jump right in. And if you need a control note sheet, why don't you go ahead and raise your hand. The ushers will get that to you. And we'll give you that right there. If you need to raise your hand real high, it looks like some hands are going up. The ushers will get that to you, so just keep it up. Be persistent. Take heart. Do not grow weary. Come on. They're coming to you. Let me just start off with the first scripture, the scripture that is foundation for this series, which is 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. It says, the weapons we fight with are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. The weapons that you and I have divine power to demolish the strongholds in our life. Somebody say amen. Amen. The next set of the next passage, the set of scriptures that I have for you is Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 34. Many of you have possibly read this, you know, but and you know, when you're going through things, thinking about things, worrying about things, this passage right here is very dear to my heart. It took me a long time to kind of understand, and now I get to share that with you tonight. It reads like this. It says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. Tell your neighbor, do not worry about your life. What you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Really, can any one of you add a single hour to your life for worrying? Nope, you can't. I can't. I can tell you that because I worry every so often. And verse 28, and why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, You of little faith. This is probably the only part that I really identify myself with in this passage, and I'll explain later. But so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and yet your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first, somebody say, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So when you seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, God will add to your life. God will add, that, somebody should put a loud amen on that right now. God will add to your life. Come on, give him a hand clap. When you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, that hand clap's weak. Give him a hand clap, come on. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the time that we have here at midweek. We know you're going to do a mighty work. We've been in the series of strongholds, and you're showing us by the power of your word how to break strongholds, Father, in this series. And tonight, we're going to learn how to break more strongholds, Father. You've given us that divine power to do so through your word, so we thank you. I pray the word that is released, Father God, may it be precise. May it fall on people's hearts. May it take root, Father. May people leave empowered, Father, with this word. May your Holy Spirit work. We love you, Lord. We give you glory with everything that's about to take place tonight. May the Spirit move across this place in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, amen, amen, and amen. Go ahead and give your neighbor a hand clap, or not a hand clap, a high five. And go ahead, you can be seated. How many of y'all enjoying your summer? You guys having a good time in summer? Summer has been a good time. I know for some of you young people, you're back in school now. My kids got to go back tomorrow, so summer's over. So you're kind of disappointed about that. You're like, oh man, I got to go back to school. But the parents are like, amen, they're going back to school. Now we can do stuff, summer's coming to an end. Summer's been eventful. Summer's been a fun time. Normally summer is. Some people go off on vacation. Some people do things, what have you, weekend vacations or road trips. We had a road trip, my family and I. We've done some things. Our start of our summer started with a live camp, I believe. It was a live camp. Come on, give it up for live camp. 300 students just giving the life, just going up to the mountain and just, giving God that weekend was just, or it wasn't a weekend, it was a week, those weekdays just to receive from him. It was just amazing to see all the young people come back from that. We got to go to the beach. I was at the beach day. The beach day was actually it was like a highlight for me because I love beach baptisms. I don't know about many of you, but I got baptized at the beach, which was really cool, and it was at Huntington Beach as well. So it was cool being out there with the people that got baptized. The waves, though, on the other hand, was a little bit rough. I got baptized myself a few times, but it was cool. We're out there, we're having a good time, hanging out. Life is better with friends, right? We're connecting with one another. I didn't get to go, but my family went to Disneyland. My kids, I don't have a pass, so I don't get to go, but that's all right. So long as they're blessed. My daughter went to Magic Mountain. My daughter, this is so cool because she conquered something, a fear, which, come on, she broke a stronghold about roller coasters. She went on the roller coaster at a California Adventure over there, the one with the loop, that one. And then she said, because I went on this roller coaster, I'm going to Magic Mountain. She went to Magic Mountain. She got on all the roller coasters that she possibly could. And now she came back. She said, Dad, I'm an adrenaline junkie now. I want to get on all the roller coasters. That's what she said. So she went to Magic Mountain. She did that just yesterday because we're trying to get some things in. The kids went to Not Soak City, so they had fun over there. Which is really cool. I don't know how many of you guys went to theme parks, but I'm sure quite a few of you went to a theme park. You went somewhere that was fun for you and your family and all that stuff. One of my favorite trips that we did, though, weekend trip that we did was we went up to Discovery Bay. I don't know how many of you know about Discovery Bay, but it's just, my wife, her family, they go up there, or they have a vacation house there, so we're able to go and visit. Come on, we're blessed because their family's blessed. Let's go. So we went up there, and it was awesome. We went up there. They have that vacation house. It's really cool. You drive up there. You wouldn't even know it. You feel like you're driving in a neighborhood. But when you go into this neighborhood, everyone's backyard is like there's water back there. There's just water. You go into a neighborhood. You don't see it from the streets. You don't know. But then when you get there, you see, you get into the house. You go into the back. It's just water. There's a boat. There's a dock right there. And there's water, which is really cool. And it was really fun because we got to swim all day and do a lot of things over there. And I think that week, that weekend that we were there, we literally took clothes to wear, but we were like in our swimsuits the whole time, which was pretty fun because every day we're just in the water swimming. It was hot up there, just like it was over here. So we loved being in the water up there. The back of where their house is at, the water, you know, from one house to the other house across was probably about, you know, 800, 900 meters away, you know, and then the water was about 27 feet deep. So we're out there, we're swimming, we're doing all those kinds of things, and it was fun. We got to do some wakeboarding. Come on, that was cool. Got on the boat and wakeboarded. I don't know if anybody's ever tried that, but getting up is pretty hard. It really is. I got up on the second time, but this is why though. The 20 years ago, I did it with her family, right? It was about almost 20 years ago, so, and it took me a long time then, and I kind of had to just reignite, like, what I learned back then and remember that, and luckily, because I was able to do that, I was able to get up, which is awesome, so I was able to accomplish that. I was like, man, 20 years later, I got up, which was awesome. My daughter got up, which was cool. She got up, took her a few times, she got up, and then my sons were making fun of my daughter. It's like, oh, you got it up. Or not, well, one of my sons, you know. My other son's kind of a little bit more mellow. But I won't say the one that was making fun of her, Levi, and all. But he starts saying stuff. And then we just tell him, say, you know what, man? Don't be talking trash because you're about to try, okay? And then he goes, well, you know, I'll bet you, you know, I get up on the first time. Will you give me V-Bucks? Does anybody, any parent knows what V-Bucks is? It's like that virtual money for that game Fortnite. Okay, so we're like, all right. I'm like, you know, it's hard. You know, wakeboarding is hard. They're not going to get up the first time, so I'm cool. He's like, I'll bet you 10,000 V-Bucks. You know what 10,000 V-Bucks costs? Like $100. $100 of real money to get 10,000 of fake money. Come on. So he jumps on, we're just doing it. I was like, I'm cool. We're not going to have to, you know, pay anything out because this is hard, right? It's hard. Dude got up on the first try. His brother got up on the first try. And then later on in the conversation, like, what the heck? Me and my wife were looking at it like, we're so excited. But then we're like, oh, you know? And then we're looking at each other. I was like, oh, my gosh, we're going to have to pay up. So we paid up, but we did it like we didn't do it all at once. We were smart about it. It's like, yeah, you'll get it, but you're not all at once, you know. We want to make sure we spread this out. Help. And then in the conversation later in the boat, I turned to her, Tina's aunt, and asked her, like, Amon, do little kids usually get up that fast? She's like, yeah, they usually do. I was like, why didn't you say something? She didn't say nothing. It was hilarious. Needless to say, we had fun over there. Only lasted about 3 days. It was great. It was fun. I loved it out there, but we had to come back. Most like all of us, you have to come back from our vacations because you have to come back to reality because things are over, right? No longer is the vacation can't last forever. How many wish that we can, you know, vacation could just last forever? We go to Hawaii, it's like, man, I want to be in Hawaii forever. I want to live there forever. I want to, you know, do those things. You know, we come back, summer. How many wish summer could last forever, last super long? But then we understand that summer doesn't last that long. Summer doesn't last that long. So you come back, to things. You start thinking about things. For me, personally, I'm thinking about, okay, summer's almost over. Things got to be thought about. And, we got to, you know, get the kids ready for back to school because they're going back to school, right? You know, my daughter's a senior as well, you know, so, you know, certain costs come along with the seniors, like senior picks, you know, that sitting fee for the senior picks was $100 and you don't get any proofs. You still have to buy the proofs online, which is crazy. But anyways, we won't talk about that. But I start thinking about things. I start thinking about back to school, my kids getting shoes and getting clothes, making sure they have the backpacks, the school supplies. You know, I'm coming back, not only that, but I'm coming back from vacation, coming into this house. So like, okay, I got to start getting back in the mindset of thinking projects, thinking about the 10-year anniversary coming up. Come on, August 26th, invite somebody. Come on, 10 years, a decade of freedom. Come on, let's take a praise break right there. Right now, and what God has done in this house at Freedom House Church. So I'm thinking about those things. I'm thinking about, that. I'm thinking about other things. I'm thinking about my, you know, like I said, I mentioned fantasy football earlier. My fantasy football league coming up. I got to get up to date, right? You know, all these things. I'm just starting to thinking about things and little worries about certain things. Little worries about certain things. And I don't know about you, but maybe you've come off, you know, you know, worrying about sudden things coming up as summer's coming to an end. You have kids going to school, because I know I'm not the only one that has kids going to school from different ages and stuff. Some of you have college kids, and man, that's another worry in itself. I don't have that yet, but it's coming close. But you start worrying about things, or some of you as young people, you're thinking about school itself, like, man, I'm going into my senior year, which is my daughter, you know, or I'm going to college, I'm going to be a freshman, things like that. Or you're coming back from vacation, going into work, like, man, I'm coming back, I've been off for about a couple weeks, and now I'm coming back, and you start thinking of all these things that are just worries that just pop up in your head, worries that just come about, worries that for me, make it a little bit difficult to understand, that made it a little bit difficult to understand the passage of scripture that I read to you, to understand Matthew 6:25. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. Worries, you know, like, man, I don't get this right here. Worries about your life. How do you not worry about your life? How do you not worry about kids going back to school? How do you not worry about taking care of things and taking care of your parents or taking care of your brother or your sister? How do you not worry about these things? And I started to think about it more and understand and learn that the truth is, you'll never not worry. You'll never not worry. The Bible says, do not worry about your life. And I'm sending you some of you can get free right now. You never not worry. There's always going to be worry in your life. You know, it's always going to be there because we're human. You're human. I'm human, so I'm going to worry. I'm imperfect. My job is to make sure the worries that I have, I hand over to God, but the worries are going to come. So when you read stuff like or scripture like this, do not be discouraged, because like, man, I got worries. Don't be discouraged. It's there to encourage you. It's there to let you know that God knows that you're going to worry. So he's going to tell you, do not worry. I'm going to let you know as we go through this that how he wants you to worry, though, because there's a certain way that you should worry that should not be taken away from your life, but should be adding to it. So tonight, the title of my message is called Demolishing the Stronghold of Worry. Demolishing the Stronghold of Worry. Because that's what we as humans are, what we do. We worry about things and, many things. Some things are good things to worry about. You know, we should be concerned about our health. We should be concerned about, you know, making sure that we're healthy, that we're maintaining our weight. We should be concerned about those things. We should be concerned about doing good in school. We should be concerned about those things. We should be concerned about finding a job. God doesn't want you, you know, living with your parents till you're 40. We should be concerned about those things. We should be concerned about going out and providing and taking care of your family and doing those type of things, taking care of your kids. We should be concerned about paying bills, paying the mortgage, paying the rent, paying for your car, those type of things. We should be concerned with listening to our parents. And all the parents said, amen. Come on, we should be concerned about listening to our parents, taking out the trash, cleaning our room, because if we don't, this might happen. We should be concerned about those type of things. Clearly, some form of worry has an adaptive value to our life. And that's the healthy part of it. Okay, when you can have those type of things healthy, because they're gonna remind you to do what you need to do for your life so that your life continue to grow and progress. But there's also some things that are bigger than some of the trivial things that I just mentioned here. And that can take away from your life. You might be asking, Pastor Louis, what are you talking about? What type of worry can take away from our life? This is what I'm talking about. The type of worry that takes away from your life, or the things that worry can do to take away from your life. And I'll come back to the things, the type of worry. Here are some of the things that worry can do to you. Mentally, it affects you. I did some research, and the number one thing that it can do, or I don't think it's in any actual order, but there's five things that I picked. Number one, it reduces your concentration. It you can't focus on other things because your focus is on worry, so you have a divided focus. You're indecisive. You're indecisive because you have a divided focus, because you're worried. You don't know what to do. It's kind of like, you know, when you go to the movies? You know when you go to the movies and you see like a scary movie and there's that one scene, you know, the people are all worried because, the guy with the chainsaw is chasing them and you're like, no, don't go over there. We know not for them not to go over there because they're so worried. They make the wrong choice. They go over there and they end up dying in the movie, right? You know, I know that's a little bit of a funny analogy there, but similar to us, when we worry all the time, we can lose our ability to make the right decisions and have the wisdom needed for those decisions because we're so worried about things. We overplay risk. We say, oh, what if this happens? What if that happens? You go way to the extreme of what probably will never, ever, ever happen. We worry about so many things that never even take place. The things that we worry about are all things that we think is going to happen in the future. And I know I can go through everybody right here. It's like, man, some of you have felt that way about your future. Some of you have felt that, worried about the what's to come. And then you've understand, like, you know what? It didn't even happen. It didn't even happen. Worry causes us to be pessimistic, have a negative attitude. You know, when you're worried, you're so negative. And then what happens, you become so pessimistic and so negative that you become a self-manifestation of your thoughts because of what you're speaking. So you're living out the pessimism in your life because that is what worry is doing to you. It leaves you, yourself rendered to where you can't act, but the only thing you're doing in life is reacting to life. When God has called you to be proactive in life. When you are only reactionary in life, you will never get to the place that God wants you to be. You need to be proactive, but you'll never be able to do that with a pessimistic mindset because you're always worrying. You become problem focused rather than solution focused. You get so worried, like, man, you focus on the problem all the time. All the time, it's the problem, 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 but you never find a solution. You won't find a solution always worried about something. That's the unhealthy stuff that comes your way. Those are the things that when you worry, they affect you mentally. And then there's also, you know, physical things that happen. You know, people have, you know, headaches, irregular heartbeats, those type of things. You know, nausea, they get sick. You know, migraines, those type of things. That's what worry does to you. It affects you mentally and physically. And then also maybe even to the point of heart attack. It can do that to you. That's what worry does. These things are what the stronghold of worry can do to you. This happens when you try to take control and hold on to the situation. When you're worried, you're always trying to hold on. You're always trying to take hold of what's happening in your life. And instead of controlling it, it controls you. And it keeps you from being who God has called you to be. It leaves your life capped. It leaves your life limited. Because you are living a life by worry and not being led by God. When you're led by worry, you're not going to be led by God. So worry is a stronghold. And we have to understand that worry is in our life and we have to break that stronghold in our life. And we have the divine power to do so. We have the divine power to break the stronghold of worry in our life. Though I said some small things, I know that I understand that we all have different backgrounds and different areas that we come from and how we're brought up in, or different situations that we're in. And some things are just huge that it preoccupies our mind. Things like marriage. You know, somebody may be in here thinking about marriage and on the brink of divorce, but they don't want divorce, but they're worried about it because it seems like it's going to happen. Somebody just maybe someone found out his kid has been smoking out with his friends at school and they don't know what to do. Maybe you're sick, you need to go to the doctor, but you don't want to go because you're afraid what the doctor might tell you. These worries, they come and they can overtake, and that's overtake to a point of they debilitate you in your life. Maybe you just got served an eviction notice and you're worried about that. Maybe you're like Christina up here. You know, you go to school and you're taking your 20 units, and you got that one class and you need to get at least a C, but you're struggling. But if you don't take that one class, you're not gonna graduate. I'm not saying that was Christina's situation, but I'm just saying maybe you're a college student like that. You know, especially as we start up school, you got all these things, all these worries. So what do you do about that type of worry? What do you do about the big worry? Because the little worry is a little bit easier to deal with. But what do you do with the big life-changing, life-altering, the things that can just shift how your life goes? What do you do about that type of worry? What you do is this. It's very simple. I pick my language and the wording here very carefully. Very simple. Okay, it's simple to do, but it doesn't mean it's easy. But it's super simple. Somebody asked me, what is it, Louis? The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:7, says, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about you. We have to understand as believers that when we get into a point of worry that it's just occupying us, it's just coming up, that we need to give it to God. Now, I said it was simple because that is simple. But it is hard because we are human, and I established that worries just come into our life. But it's better for us to continue to give it to God because God cares even more about our life than we care about our own lives. I'm not saying you don't care about your life, but I'm saying God loves you so much. He sent his son Jesus down to this earth to die on the cross for you, to be buried, to be raised, rose again by the power of the Holy Spirit, because he loves you and he cares about you and your life, because he has a plan for your life. He's giving you a hope, a destiny, a future, and he wants you to live out the fullness of God's freedom in your life. You ask me if God cares about your life? Yes, he does. He cares about your life. Turn to your neighbor and say, he cares about your life. So let's give it to Jesus. Let me give you the first point. You're like, man, he's barely getting to his first point. Don't worry. This is going to go kind of fast now, okay? This is going to go kind of fast. This is the way we demolish the stronghold of worry. It's with peace. You demolish the stronghold of worry with peace. Can I get a witness? Where does peace come from? The Lord. Come on, you guys are good. You guys are good. That means you're good. You would be good students. You should sign up for Bible college. Go ahead. Come on. Get that A in Pastor B Flow's class. Go ahead. Where does peace come from? Peace comes from God. Peace comes from his son, Jesus. Isaiah 9:6 says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." In the Hebrew, that means shalom. Shalom means nothing missing, nothing broken. Because when you're in Jesus, when you're in God, nothing is missing and nothing is broken in your life. No matter how broken you may feel about your life, it becomes full when you're inside of Jesus and when Jesus is inside of you. Remember that. Take that to the bank. Say, Pastor Louis said that. So, and it's from the Word, so you better believe it. John 14:27 says, "Peace I live with you, I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives." So it doesn't come from the world. So stop looking to the world for the peace that you need. "Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." Matthew 11:28-30 says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Somebody say peace. John 16:33 says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Jesus Christ has overcome the world. Okay? The world, the Bible says there is trouble in the world. So stop trying to run from the trouble. It's going to come whether you're in Jesus or whether you're not. Trouble is coming your way, but take heart because Jesus has overcome the world. Say peace. Psalm 29:11 says, "The Lord gives his people strength. The Lord blesses them with peace." God has blessed you with peace. God has blessed you with peace. Everybody here has been blessed with peace. Now, all you have to do is just receive that, because I know sometimes it can be kind of hard when you look at the things that are going on around you. But things that are going around you does not affect the peace that God gives you. The peace that God gives you is unwavering. It does not change. It is there. It is fortified. You can lean on it. You can stand on it. You can believe on it. You can know that it's there for you 100% of the time, and it'll never go away because Jesus Christ is for you and not against you. Amen? All right. Here's a sub point. So I have one point with two sub points. The sub point is this, like, okay, we talked about peace. That's how we demolish the stronghold. Well, how do you find peace? Peace is found in trusting God and giving him thanksgiving. Peace is found in trusting God and giving him thanksgiving. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you." There's that trust. 2 Corinthians 10:5, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ." It's another form of trust right there. May the God, Romans 15:13, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Trust. Somebody say trust. Philippians 4:6-7, "Do not worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done." Thank him. Come on. Take 3 seconds and thank God for all that he's done in your life. You can't think of something? You're in Freedom House tonight. Come on, thank Him for being in Freedom House tonight. Then, when you thank Him, then you will experience God's peace. Peace comes through trust and thanksgiving, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. My next sub-point is this. Peace is found in the confidence of being loved as His child. Being loved as His child. When you have a confidence, you have a peace. But not just a confidence in yourself, because that's worthless. The confidence in God. Okay, so a confidence in God, knowing that you are His child and that He loves you, then there's a peace that comes upon you. A peace that demolishes the stronghold of worry. Because you know your God's got your back. You know your Heavenly Father is there for you. He's taking care of you. And though things are going on around you, He's got you in the palm of His hand, and He's never going to release you or let you go. That's the type of confidence, the confidence of knowing Him. Romans 8:15 through 17, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons. You all have been adopted into the family of Christ, by whom we cry, Abba, Father, by whom we call Father, Daddy. That's our God. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. We are children of God, and if children, then heirs also. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. We are heirs with Him because we are His children and we are loved. And His love goes far and it goes deep, it goes wide. His love will always bring you peace. Romans 8:37 through 38 is one of my favorite scriptures about love right here. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Come on, you're all more than conquerors. Come on, turn to three people and say, you're more than a conqueror. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us, for I'm sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing that you can possibly imagine will ever separate you from the love of God. No matter what you have been through, no matter what past, oh, Pastor Lou, you know about my past, I did a lot of things. No matter what, it cannot separate you from the love of God. No matter what, well, you know, I don't know about this person. Some of you have been like, you know, not inviting people to church because, like, I don't think church is for them. God loves that person too. You need to invite them to church. Come on, His love cannot be broken. His love for His children is unwavering. His love for His children is always going to be there. And it's always going to be there for you to tap into. It's always going to be there. It's never going to let you go. It's never going to let you or fail you. It will be there for you every step of the way. Amen? Are you guys encouraged? Come on, I'm encouraging myself. I'm preaching to myself. Man, I can't believe the time flew by so fast. I'm already in the red. Let's stand to our feet. I'm so sorry, guys. Hey, but you know what? Come on, God is in this place. God is moving, doing a mighty work. I'm not done yet, by the way. I see the time. But as we close, you know, demolishing the stronghold of worry, it's so important that we as Christians understand that we need to be giving our worry to God every single day. Worry happens every day. Unless it's just me, then more credit to you. But I'm going based off my experiences, and I'm imagining if I worry, then you worry too. I've reading the scripture of Matthew chapter 6, 25 through 34 has always brought me attention, because it was always been challenging to me because of the worry that I've always felt. It wasn't even till recently, in the past recent years, that I started to discover, okay, this is what it is. Number one, I tried to view it as if I was like, you know, like perfect. I can do this. I can do not have to worry. But then once I started realizing that I am imperfect, it was a lot easier to understand and receive of that scripture. Once I started realizing, okay, the word also says this about worry, to give it over here, to give it over there, you know, or give it to Him whenever I have worry over here or over there. then I start to be more set free. I start to understand, okay, yeah, all right, this is going on, but I give it to him. And I understand we all have different type of worries, because me and my wife, we have different type of worries. She'll be like, how come you're not worried about that? And for me, I'm like, well, you know, I'm believing God, trusting God. And then sometimes I'll turn to her like, how come you're not worrying about it? She says, well, you know, I'm believing God, and, you know. So I know. I'm glad it's never at the same time, because then we'd be both discouraged at the same time. Not good. So you got to be working. But you know, we constantly have to be giving it to him. God has given us the divine power to break this stronghold. Every single person in this room has the divine power to break the stronghold of worry. I want you to live the fullness of God in your life, and that to be manifested in your life. But if we're constantly being worried and overcome by worry, we're constantly trying to hold on to worry, because let's face it, we like to control things. So a lot of the times we're holding on to worry because, you know, we want to try to control the situation. We want to try to make sure that you know, things are getting taken care of our way. We want to make sure that if we follow, we think that we follow these steps, everything will be okay. But worry, the more you try to hold on to it, the more it controls you. You know, I started with that story about going to up north to Discovery Bay, and we had such a great time. Such a great time. It was amazing. You know, we were swimming all the time. We were, you know, back in, you know, we'd wake up in the morning. I got to sleep in a little bit. Thank you, Jesus. We got to sleep in a little bit, you know, and my kids like, let's go swimming, Dad. Let's go swimming. So we'd jump and stuff. And there's this one day we all went. We're all in there. We're just swimming. And because it's 27 feet deep, we have some floating devices. That's, you know, lifesavers or you know, little life vests. That's what it's called. Okay, because I just... Lifesaver. If you're drowning, it's saving your life. The noodles, the floating noodles, right? You know, we had those in there because, you know, it's 27 feet deep. You know, you're going to get tired trying to tread water forever. So we were there one time. And my son, he's like, man, I don't like the life jacket. I don't like the life vest. So he got the noodles. He wanted the noodles because, you know, he had a little bit more freedom with the noodles. The life jacket, the life vest kind of like, you know, bothered him, and, you know, so he was on that life jacket and stuff, and, or on that floating device, that noodle, and, you know, he tried to sit on it, tried to stand on it, he's trying to control it, you know, and which is really cool. Yeah, all right, cool, awesome. Look, he said, look, Dad, look at me, and then I look at him, and then 2 seconds later, that thing pops up, and it floats away for about 7 or 8 meters, and he's like, oh, man, I got to swim to this because I don't have nothing else. So he's swimming to that. He gets it. He tries to control it again, you know, and then boom, it pops out another 7 or 8 meters. Man, I better get over there. He's swimming for 7, 8 meters on his own with no life jacket, no nothing to get to this floating device. He was able to do these things. He was able to swim for that amount of time. Then later on, you know, and that day we all went out, you know, like I said, it was about 800 to 1,000 meters, something like that. If you guys are wondering why I'm talking in meters, because I want to give you context to the distance. It's about 2.5 laps of a track. So that's what that is. So we swam out, and we're about, you know, 600, 700 meters out. We're swimming. He's on the noodles. You know, Tina was on the noodle. You know, I had a life jacket. And he's doing the same thing, trying to control. He can only swim about 7 to 8 meters, maybe 9, maybe 10 at times. You know, he loses control. Then I don't know, you know, I just turned to him and said, hey, we're about 600 meters, we had to swim back, so we're about 600 meters back. And I said, why don't you try swimming all the way over there? And he looked at me like I was crazy. No, I'll hold the noodle, I'll be right by your side, and you just swim. And then he's like, yeah? I was like, yeah. He's like, okay. So I grabbed the noodle, and I'm just swimming next to him. He's about 600, 700 meters out. He's 12 years old, you know, 13 years old, and he's swimming, and he starts swimming, and he just keeps swimming. He knows that I'm there, but he's not looking at me, so he just keeps swimming, and like, and at times I'm like, hey, do you want the noodle, or do you want the floating device? And he's like, no, and he just keeps hammering away, man. This kid has no technique, no form, which is kind of hilarious. He's just hammering at the water, but he's going. He got all the way to the end, all the way back to the house. He swam about 600 to 700 meters all the way back. All the way back to the house. And I was, you know, God reminded me of this for this message today, because I came here on a mission, on focus, and I'm here to tell you, some of you have been holding on to your worry. You've been trying to control it, and it's been keeping you capped and limited to the growth and to the goodness of God that wants to happen to your life. But it's not until you give God over that floating device that you will be able to go farther and further, because you know that you are His child and that you are loved by Him and that He wants the best for your life. So He will never let you drown. He will never let you falter. He will never let you trip up to the point where you can't get up. And if you do trip up, He will raise you up and keep on taking you further and further and further. So right now I'm here to tell you and bring notice to the devil himself that we are going to demolish the stronghold of worry that has been keeping the people of this house, God's people, God's children, captive, limited, capped. We break that stronghold of worry right now, and we speak against it, and we speak against that spirit to leave. You have no holes. This is a house of freedom, and freedom lives here, and he who the Son sets free is free indeed. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. God is up to something, and he wants to do it in your life. Get ready, Freedom House Church, because the stronghold held you down are broken now. Come on, and we're not even done with this series. More struggles are going to be broken. You may not see it. You may not perceive it. You may not have vision for it. But borrow the faith of your lead pastors, of your pastoral team, that we see more for your life than you even see right now. We see Ephesians 3:20 over your life. Now to Him, we can do immeasurably more than we can ask, think, or imagine, according to the power
tuning in. We pray you're encouraged by this message. Show your support by sharing your favorite podcast on social media. See you next week.